99 minutes, the clock ticks on. 1-1. Corner. Szoboszlai from the left to take. And Dyke's header! Yes! Would you believe it? Incredible saves! Virgil van Dijk beats Pickford! Liverpool lead! Deep, deep into stoppage time with the Hill Dickinson! We've been there before! For Gary McAllister under Phil Thompson! It's Virgil van Dijk today! Everton are on their knees! That is sensational! Absolutely sensational! And the captain delivers! The away end is absolutely bouncing on our first ever visit to the Hill Dickinson. I can't believe there's loads of Everton fans leaving, by the way. Liverpool win the derby! Get in there! What a win on our first visit to the Hill Dickinson Stadium! Virgil van Dijk, leader, inspiration, captain, gets the winner, heading home. Dominic Szoboszlai's corner kick seconds earlier. Theo Engamola looks and missed a golden chance when we open them up. Mo Salah on his final appearance in a Merseyside derby. Open the scoring for Liverpool first half. Brilliant pass from Gakpo. Great goal. Beto equalised after we were caught out down the left-hand side. Then Tarkowski cleared one off the line. But Liverpool, absolutely incredible scenes. The Mersey will be red tonight, as it always is. Liverpool have now scored six stoppage time winners against Everton in the Premier League era. What a day! The city is red! Everton 1, Liverpool 2!
What late drama on the banks of the Mersey. Yes, the first Merseyside derby at Hill Dickinson Stadium ended with a 2-1 victory to Liverpool. Arne Slot, Andrew Robertson and Freddie Woodman give us their thoughts on the priceless win here on The Reaction. I'm Becky Davis and I was joined in the studio by Phil Thompson and Jason McAteer to discuss the game. Plus, we've got Neil Muller over at the stadium for us too. Tomo is about to explode with happiness, I think. What about that?
I can't wait. I can't stop laughing. Honestly, they came with all the excitement for this game. They believed, and we've absolutely trumped them. It was a great performance because you don't realise how hard it is to go into an environment like that and the passion, the commitment from the opposition, from the fans, to actually triumph, and there's no better way. Is a last minute winner. It is just wonderful. And well, that's the sixth one that we've had,
stoppage
which
time
is
winners,
absolutely
yeah.
Wonderful. And it was a test today, and we've come through it with flying colours.
Yes, Tomo says there's not much better than a derby victory, but a derby victory like that, literally the dying seconds of a game, especially when we think maybe that Rio chance was the chance, and then Virgil obviously gets another one and takes the points.
I mean, we were just talking off camera, weren't we, about the six last-minute winners, like ones we remember. But the one that sticks out in my mind is obviously Divock Origi. Liverpool claimed the bragging rights today. But for me, it was a lot more important than that. I think the 3 points was what I really was made up about. Listen, it was a very scrappy. It was played in traditional derby atmosphere. We wondered how the crowd were going to respond to the new stadium, how it was going to impact, you know, from Goodison is a very intimidating place to go and volatile. We wondered if they could recreate that for the derby. I think they did. I think they really played their part for Everton, the fans. And I think that's why, as Tomo was saying there, for Liverpool point of view, it made it quite sweet, the last minute winner, because it was so volatile and the atmosphere was horrible. Fair play to the Everton fans. They played their part. And the team. They made it a real derby performance, a real derby game, wasn't it? There was lots of fouls, there was lots of tackles going in. There wasn't much football played. If anything, I'd have to credit Liverpool with the more quality. Everton lacked that cutting edge up top. You know, they got themselves back in it, fair play. I didn't really see a winner coming. And as Tomo said, you know, Rio Engamoa, you felt they might have a chance, Liverpool. They were the team that was maybe going to create something in that last 10 minutes or that of injury time, 11 minutes, and they did, and he fluffed his lines, as Tomo said in commentary. I didn't think anyone was going to pull anything out the bag from there, and then they get the corner, and then you just fingers crossed, because anything can happen. Great ball in, they crowded around Pickford, and they get the winner, and we're sitting here now, happy as laddie, aren't we?
What a moment for Virgil as well, Tomo. Of course, scored on his debut in a Merseyside derby, Virgil van Dijk, and he actually becomes the second oldest goal scorer in a Merseyside derby after Gary McAllister, of course, but he will absolutely relish that. And what can that do for the dressing room as well?
He's the captain, and he knows him. Do you know what I really liked? He didn't sort of give it large after he'd scored it. He was Virgil-esque, is that, hold on, there's still 2 minutes to go in this game. I've got to make sure we get ourselves through. There wasn't sort of running about knee slides or anything. It was, I'm going to be nice and calm here. This is what I need to lead my team to victory. Because it's no good if you go and lose one at the other end and you've lost your concentration. So that was vitally important. But he's the captain. He's our captain. And he's delivered on the biggest of stages. That, for their first derby out there, now it's dead and it's gone. And we've proved victorious.
That dressing room will be bouncing right now, the away dressing room, Jase. But it means valuable. So much more than just now, doesn't it? As you were saying, it's the platform that this can give them now for the closing weeks is so important.
It's so valuable after the 2 weeks we've had because, you know, like I said before, at the top of the show this afternoon, you know, we were sitting here only 2 weeks ago when we were talking about possibly going through in the FA Cup, possibly going through in the Champions League. And it's all fell flat, hasn't it? So they've had to pick themselves up today. It was a good game for Liverpool today to go into, intimidating environment. But I'd rather have gone into that today away at Everton rather than Bournemouth away or Wolves away. I just think with the attitude that
something
the players would have had.
Something to get yourselves up for, yeah.
It was something meaty about today's derby, wasn't it? And to get it last minute, then to go into dressing room. We've both been in a dressing room where we've got last minute winners. There's no better place.
They needed a dressing room. They were like that on the pitch.
Well, yeah.
Pushing Mo forward, pushing Andy.
That was nice.
That all told you how big a game this was. How big a 3 points and how big at the first away ground.
Yeah, I was going to say, we saw the scenes at the top of the show, but it was very special, that, wasn't it, seeing Mo Salah and Andy Robertson, neither of whom will play in a Merseyside derby again, Jason, having that moment in front of the away fans.
Yeah, I watched Mo because the camera kind of stayed on him and he went off the pitch, took his top, and he was walking up the tunnel. Looks like they've grabbed him for the press, but it kind of stayed on him for a little moment there, didn't it? And he was very, like...
emotional.
Yeah, that's the word, yeah. I think he's reflective, isn't he? Absolutely, you did there.
Sorry,
well done, Tom. You can tell he's happy, can't you? He's making jokes and everything. But he's very reflective of, like, the moment he's in. Sometimes you can get carried away in the emotion of the winning the game and everyone's caught. But I think he was actually walking off the pitch thinking, this is my last one. You know, I want to savour this moment. And he wasn't getting too carried away. I think he's quite sad, actually. It's kind of sad watching him at the moment.
Yeah, of course. I mean, naturally, end of the era, isn't it, Tomo? And he's a human being like anyone else, really, not just a superstar footballer.
And to score again in a derby match is, you know, was there any surprise that he scores that first goal? What a ball from Cody Gakpo was just sensational. And there's enough pace on it, he doesn't have to stop it. And you know Mo coming onto it with his left foot. But he's done it again against Everton. And he is, we said about Stephen being a talisman, Rushy being a talisman in derbies, Mo's been, but he won't be there next year.
Yeah.
I think because he's called it himself, so we don't always have that luxury, do we, or privilege to call
exactly
it ourselves.
That,
you know, you can go into work tomorrow sometimes and be told you're sold. Can't you, Tomo? Anyway, so what I mean by that is because Mo's called it himself, he's now knowing that's his last derby. He's now knowing I've got, what is it, 6-5 games to go. He knows that, you know, he's winding the clock down on his career. So he is savouring them moments. Had it been, you know, not that situation, you don't know, do you? You think you might have next season, the season after, how long will it? Because he's called it, he is being able to reflect on the situation he's in at that moment. So I think that's quite poignant for him.
Yeah, and he gets a proper send-off and a proper farewell as well. You can see there. It sees him join...
15 games, 9 goals.
Yeah, joined Steven Gerrard today as a record scorer against Everton in the Premier League with 9 goals. The Hill Dickinson actually also becomes the 42nd ground that Mo Salah has scored at in his Liverpool career. Wow. Only Ian Rush, we've got Steven Gerrard, of course, and Roger Hunt as well have scored at more venues for the Reds. Billy Little scored at the same number of venues, 42. But he was very involved today, Tomo, and looked very, very up for it, didn't he? He looked really up for the challenge on the big stage again.
When he came on, he's known the importance today, but when he came on against PSG, you could see in him against PSG, he was up for it. Yeah. And it's, dare I say it, he's not been like that for a lot of games. But he came on against PSG, and you can imagine him going on, now I've got to come on, because we've got, obviously, the horrific injury for Hugo. But his attitude was fantastic. I thought he had a great display against PSG. And I was pleased, because he knows what the derby games are all about. And it was right that he should be starting this game. Whether that was the idea behind not playing against PSG, but Mo was going to start the derby. But I thought his performance today was top class. I really do. It was a proper, Virgil's the captain, but it was a proper leader's performance from Mo.
Yeah, of which he is in this team, Jason. He's showed that many times. But I think in games like this, he thrives on these kind of occasions, doesn't he?
Yeah, I agree with Tom. And we spoke about it again, didn't we? You know, the team selection today, you need that experience of players who played in derbies. They're such a unique game, and there were some players, obviously, who haven't played in a derby. This is the first time they've obviously all played in that environment at the Hill Dickinson, but we didn't quite know what kind of atmosphere it was going to be. But they made it a real atmosphere, and it's good having players out there who have played in that atmosphere against Everton and knowing what the derby's all about. And he showed up. Listen, it wasn't a classic in terms of quality. You know, I've seen better derbies, but it was a full-blooded, full-committed game, wasn't it, from both sets of players? You know, they both set the stalls out. Everton didn't tactically change. They didn't sit deep. They didn't invite the pressure. They were at Liverpool. They were physical. They were in the face. They tried to spoil it. They tried to
bully. Do you not think the game went according to plan, the way we were all expecting it, that first 15, 20 minutes when Beto's had two chances and they're up for it and they're making the ball and they're getting the ball long, they're causing it on the second... They made it all like that, but as the game settled, you could see us taking control of that game right up from that 15 minutes to 30 minutes to half-time. I thought we were in control.
Yeah, it very much felt like Everton. It's probably no surprises in the early stages. No. They came out very frenetic. You knew they were going to do that. Beto was causing a few problems. Yeah. He had the header, which was a good save from Georgi Mamardashvili, and then he had a shot, Jace, which troubled the corner flag more than the goal.
You see it so many times, don't you, when you have that amount of pressure and, you know, you create them three or four opportunities. You just felt for Everton, one needed to go in. It didn't. And then, like Tomo said, Liverpool then just settled. And the other thing as well, when Szoboszlai ends up, you know, they all get round him, don't they? They just dragged him out. They didn't want to fight. They didn't want to get into that moment. They didn't want to do what Everton wanted them to do, which was absolutely make a fight of it, and the crowd then are up again. You know, they just pulled each other away, they got back in position. It was like, right, let's carry on. You know, we're not interested in the physical side of it. Listen, we'll mix it when we have to, but we're not going to go toe-to-toe, as in we're not going to have a fight with you and stand here and let the crowd get up. And, you know, we're going to stay professional. And that's what we said at the top of the show. If you get caught up in that, in the emotion of the game, you can quite easily lose it, can't you?
But they didn't.
They kept their heads, Liverpool. Like Tomo said, they kept to that game plan. I think it did play out.
I don't know how they deal with it, the way we dealt with it.
I was just going to say, how hard is it to do that, especially as someone who's local.
He always had a big thing with it's ice in the brain, fire in the belly. And you've got to go into those games because you can get wound up. And they were straight onto us. We're not savvy. We're not streetwise. And some of those games, Tarkovsky was refereeing that game. He was in everybody's faces from the very first challenge that went on, was wanting a yellow card, wanting us to get an early booking. And we did well to keep ourselves and not to get involved in it, because you can quite easily go start a shoving match.
You only have to put your hand in someone's finger off.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? You're caught up in it. Like,
Tarkovsky, he was the first over there trying to get one of our players booked. I thought it was deplorable.
Did you handle it? How were you?
I was always nice and calm.
Yeah, good one.
Sure.
No, I love my derbies, playing in them. I hated them as an assistant manager, the derbies when I played, because I could do something about it. People said, oh, you couldn't get in the emotion. But I loved that emotion of the derby games. I felt like some of my best games were derby games.
Yeah.
And it's that, but you've got to keep calm. No matter what, at any given stage, you've got to be committed and you've got to be clever. You've got to be calm at the same time.
Yeah, it's about winning the psychological battle as much as the physical battle out on the pitch. Did you fare well doing that, James?
No,
I thought you might say that.
No, I hated the derby. I was very emotionally attached to the fixture because you know, you grow up in that environment. You know what it means. You don't want to lose it for the fans. You don't want to lose it for yourself. But a lot, you know, Tomo just said there he handled it. A lot more could go on in our games because there was not as many eyes and cameras on the fixture. So, you know, you could end up getting wrapped up because, you know, you can get a dig from anywhere, from behind, players leaving a bit of an elbow as they run past you. And if, like Tomo said, if, you know, it's only so much that will, and then all of a sudden, it'll just explode. Yeah. And I was always on the edge, you know, someone was digging me and then my head would come out and digging me again. And then you'd see the ref. And then, you know, I remember Bawley coming on as a sub. And the first thing he did was he stepped in front of me, just went bang and trod on my foot straight away. And I'm like, oh my God, and you want to grab him, don't you? But you've got to be so careful.
So tough.
But I was always on the edge. I was always on the edge with the derby.
It was great. When I was assistant manager, we'd play on a Saturday. And if we were playing the following Saturday, I'd go in on the Sunday or the Monday and it'd be 6 days to go. And the players were all like that, Michael Owen and Tomo, got 6 days. And I'd wind them up until about the Thursday and then I'd start to calm down.
I can imagine you. Oh.
The derby preparation, it's funny. Like most games, the preparation might start Wednesday. Thursday, you're on set pieces and stuff. You'd obviously know the fixture's coming. But the derby starts from the final whistle of the previous game.
Yeah. I know. Absolutely.
It's like the talk about, it's the talk. Everton next week.
Sorry to just go off. No. They did it one day at Anfield, we played a game and they announced that there was a few hundred or whatever tickets left and they were selling them in the car park. Well, the fans all come on the wall opposite where the cars. I come out, my roof of my car was like that. They'd all jumped off the top onto the bonnet of the cars. I was like that driving home to Kirby.
I love it. Love your story.
Sorry.
No, it's worth interrupting for. Let's head back to the hill at Dickinson Stadium now. We're going to get some reaction from Neil Mellor. He's with Peter McDowell.
Yeah, welcome back. Pitchside here, where the Liverpool fans have slowly and quite deliberately taken their time about leaving the Hill Dickinson Stadium after a wonderful, dramatic finish for Liverpool. When we were thinking about the words that we might use to say, is it a point that you'd be quite happy with? But to get the win right at the death was just a wonderful moment, wasn't it?
Days like today are why we love the game, why we love football so much. Yeah, you're probably thinking 1-1. Was that Rio chance the last chance we might get to win the game? And set pieces, which has been a talking point throughout the Premier League this season, and certainly for us at the start of the season, proves to be decisive in such a big game like this. It's the first historic game here in the new stadium, new derby, of course, the first derby here. And to win that as well, it's the bragging rights for Liverpool. But nice to win the game. Really, really good feeling.
And you allude to it there, they manage big moments at key times, don't they, Liverpool? They score at a time when they're on top. Arguably, they should have got the second goal before the half-time break, but the bit of quality that they had on the day was probably key in the end.
Yeah, to respond. You know, it wasn't a good start to the game. Everton should have been in front. They never took that chances. A couple of big moments, good save, missed chance, disallowed goal. We end up going in front, maybe against the run of play. We didn't particularly play well in that first half an hour or so. But then we did finish the half strongly. Didn't start the second half great. You know, they get the equalising goal. It gets the crowd going as well. A little bit flat, weren't they, at half-time. Got them going a little bit. A few tasty challenges. But I thought after the equalising goal, it was more Liverpool chances than actually Everton chances. Think of Gakpo having a couple of moments where one off the line, one he put wide, maybe thinking could have been better. And then to win it so late on, it's just a really, really good feeling. The lads will be buzzing in there. The away end was absolutely rocking. And it's a big 3 points. We spoke about how tricky this game has been over many, many years, noticeably at Goodison. But good 3 points, especially on the back of Chelsea getting beat yesterday.
It was good, wasn't it, that they got the chance to celebrate with the fans over there as well. The Everton players were trudging past us. They've probably seen this before quite a few times at this stadium, though. But that resilience that comes, you know, they're champions for a reason, this team, aren't they? That they have suffered bad moments this year, but they have that resilience deep down within them.
Yeah, absolutely. A response as well, we have to say, in terms of being knocked out of Europe. You know, the lads would have been down, disappointed from that, and the game coming round so quickly, to respond and go, we need to get something here. And to get the 3 points, they'll feel a lot better about themselves, knowing that there is a battle. There is a battle between now and the end of the season to try and get those top 5 places. And this sort of result will really help us.
They will feel as well that the equalising goal summed up a lot of their season, didn't it? Not only do they concede a goal that they'll be disappointed with, but also the fact that they lose the goalkeeper, the backup goalkeeper.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a case of, we didn't stop the cross, we didn't defend the far post. Obviously, the goalkeeper gets injured in the incident, and we get our first sort of glimpse of Woodman in terms of the Premier League. I know he has played a cup game. He was first choice in the Championship at Preston a lot last season. He wasn't tested. You know, how many times did he have to make a save? Thought his handling was good when needed to be. So that's a real positive. But how many times, Pete, this season, have we been stood here or maybe watching Liverpool and we've been on the wrong end of them, late winning goals? It's just nice today to be on the right end of a winning goal.
Well, we'll get some reaction. I think it's right that we're off for a glass of red.
Well, why not?
That.
Why not?
I think it's only right, isn't it? Back to you guys in the studio.
Of course it is only right. Celebrations across the red side rather of Merseyside tonight. We are getting some reaction, fingers crossed, from the Liverpool dressing room very shortly. They touched on the keepers there, Georgi Mamardashvili. Firstly, we'll speak about Freddie Woodman in a moment. But concerning that, he made it a couple of good saves. Big moment very early on with Beto, the header, and he keeps that out, Tomo. But wishing all the best for his recovery.
He'd had a good day today. He couldn't do anything with the goal. And it looked nasty. That collision that you get, then impact, you're just wondering what is going on. We've not really had an update, have we, on Ali? When Ali's going to be back? Hopefully it will be soon, if not rush them. So I don't know where that, but Freddie Woodman, as Neil said, he didn't have a lot to do. There was one, the ball there where Virgil, you thought, could have headed it back to him. He didn't, but he dealt with it great. A little header over the top, and then as cool as you like, pass to Andy Robertson out on the left. He did all right. He was never really tested by Everton in all the time he was on. But it might be his big chance next week against Crystal Palace.
Yeah, and what a moment for Freddie Woodman. What a game for him to come on and make his Premier League debut for Liverpool. And he's played in the Premier League before with Newcastle at a few games for them, Jason, but as Tomo said, maybe didn't have an awful lot to do in that second half, but we might see more of him in the coming weeks.
Straight into the lines then, wasn't it? I mean, I'm not sure Newcastle, they played a Sunderland derby, but you know, that's got an edge to it as well, but he would have learnt a lot about himself today coming on for that 25 minutes.
He didn't look
in that atmosphere. But
he didn't look
phased.
He didn't look sort of phased, did he? Which was the good thing.
He made a good save, didn't he, when it bounced off him and that. Fail for Mamardashvili. He made a great save. Spoke about the header, the Beto header,
which was so early on, and that's like a huge moment, isn't it? Can see that early on in the game, and it could
turn out a bad afternoon.
He gets across Ibu, doesn't he? And he glances it, so it's coming with pace, and you could say it's a good height, but not at that stage in the game, and he pushes it away as well, doesn't knock it out.
So let's just hope. I mean, it looked nasty. I don't know. It was one of them where, you know, the boots studs are going in, aren't they? They're raised.
If it's a cut, if it's a bad cut, you never know. It depends.
We don't know.
But if it's anything worse than that, you do fear for them.
We haven't spoken about the disallowed goal for Everton, which was through Illeman Ndjai. It was Jake O'Brien who was offside, Jason. But it's an example of fine margins, of course, because it's 2 minutes later that Mo Salah opens the scoring for Liverpool. And obviously, if that stands, it's a very different complexion on the game.
Yeah, he was a handful, Ndjai. Yeah, he's technically very good, isn't he? And he was up for it. And they created a really, really good goal. He played it really well. O'Brien comes in and then obviously he gets the winner, but it was O'Brien that was offside, wasn't it? The ball played long and O'Brien, and obviously that's why we got far, isn't it? So it gets ruled off, but it took its time, didn't it?
I felt it was offside right from the start. I called it doing it with Steve. Mm. I called it because when the ball first went in there, I thought he was at least a yard off. And the ball's gone, but still we don't deal with it very well when the ball comes across. We should have done better. We were half-hearted where they were at it. And But I felt comfortable that VAR would overrule it.
Mm, yeah, it felt like that goal in terms of when Mo Salah obviously puts Liverpool in front came at a good time, and as much as Everton have been on top in those opening stages, and it really kind of quietened the atmosphere a little bit and took the sting out of it, I guess.
Yeah, there was a few moments where the crowd actually got up. If it wasn't the players fighting and sort of Tarkowski getting involved and the argument starting, and obviously Liverpool backed away, the crowd would have gone up. But then there was that moment where Dewsbury Hall, you know, wasn't it a penalty? I don't think it ever. For me, it was never a penalty. It was, but the crowd were up again, weren't they? And
well,
they were
went
on
down
top.
Easy, didn't he? One with Curtis, yeah. And then one with Ibu.
Yeah.
In the second half, and he was looking for it. I think.
Yeah,
that's
they appeal for a lot. I think there was one with Ryan Gravenberch that maybe you might say he might have been fortunate not to get a booking. But aside from that, probably not an awful lot, Jase.
No, I thought the officials did a really good job today, to be honest. Listen, that's never a tough game to manage, to referee, but he managed it really well. What I would say is I think Ryan Gravenberch got away with a booking early on. I thought that was a booking. I think it was on NGI. I think if he'd have got away, I think there was a pass on and you were out, and Everton were out, and they were, you know, there was an opportunity there. I felt that, but I think he was just reluctant to give it because of the timing of the game.
He That's probably not doesn't necessarily want to right. make a roll for his own back.
Yeah,
does he,
but then all of a sudden, but I did think it was a booking, Tom. I did.
The clash of Ibu and Beto, both of them clashed heads.
Oh, heads, yeah.
And Beto's got a big sort of cogger on his,
as I used to say,
on his medical term there. Cogger.
I'm thinking, but he sends Ibu off, and Beto stayed on.
Yeah.
How did that work? Why? I thought head injuries, you could stay on the pitch as long as you weren't concussed. But who was worse was Beto, and he stayed on the pitch.
Yeah, strange stuff. Strange. Very strange. We have got some reaction from within the Liverpool dressing room now, I think. Freddie Woodman and Andy Robertson.
Well, Freddie Woodman and Andrew Robertson have joined us. Jubilant. It's the moment that you would have wanted, Freddie, ever since you signed that first contract with Liverpool, to celebrate with the fans having won a Merseyside derby.
Yeah, it was a moment that I was waiting for, and I'm probably ready for as well. Trained hard all season. Didn't think it would come, but yeah, like obviously amazing to do it in Merseyside derby, and then to win it like we did was unbelievable. So yeah, really nice moment for me. Nice moment for my family as well. So yeah, I'm pleased.
Robbo, you've got such great resilience as a squad of players. The further that game went on, it looked as though we were the most likely to go on and win it late. Is that the way it felt on the pitch as well?
Yeah, I think so. I thought first half we were excellent. I thought we were really in control. I thought actually when we conceded the goal, we were probably the most dominant and most in control. It was just a matter of time when we got the second. But I've been here long enough. I know how Merseyside derbies go, and sometimes, you know, when you've got momentum, then sometimes you get punished, and I think that's what we did. We took a little bit of time to recover, and then we just had to keep pushing, and you know, a set piece right to the death, you can't ask for much better than that. And yeah, it was great to see the away end reacting how they did.
Rio had a moment just before that as well, might have won at 90 plus 7, I think it was at that stage. Did that give you belief that there was still maybe one moment to come?
Yeah, that was too early for us, so we decided to leave that one. No, but look, Rio obviously had a great chance. I'm sure he would have hoped to have done better with it, but we started knocking at the door a little bit. And then obviously when you get the set piece, you always believe. When you've got Virgil, you've got Ibu and the team and things like that, you always believe that they can be on the end of it, and thankfully the big man popped up, and yeah, a massive 3 points for us.
If anything sums up the season, Freddie, it's probably the fact that we can see the goal and then lose a player in the same moment. We've had such bad luck with injuries, but give us an insight into what goes through your mind at that stage. Are you clicking straight into motion that this could be the moment here?
Yeah, no. Listen, like, if I'd be lying if I said I wasn't nervous, you know what I mean? Being a part of this massive club, you have moments where you're a little bit nervous, but to be honest, I thought to myself as I ran on, I saw the back four and I thought, I should be all right, you know, like they're proper players. So I thought I wouldn't be too busy, and to be fair, they looked after me. And, you know, it was just unbelievable to make my debut in the Premier League, and to win it like we did was special.
You want to play now, next time, don't you? You want an opportunity next time Liverpool play at the weekend?
I'm not sure about that. Listen, like,
Ali, if he plays, he's the best goalkeeper in the world. So listen, I hope he's back fit. I hope Georgie is going to recover well. And listen, I'll just keep doing my role to the best I can. And that's exactly what I've tried to do all season. Just try to be ready for, you know, 20 minutes, 10 minutes when needed. And that's what I've had to do.
Robbo, he's a big and very popular part of the back room, isn't he? Almost the team behind the team at times as well. How important are these lads that push the best in the world? Because that's what players and squads have done at this club for so long.
Yeah, look, I take the mickey out of him a lot. You know, me and him always have a laugh and a joke, but, you know, he's, you know, credit to himself since he's came in, he's been unbelievable. You know, whether that's Mo Salah want to stay out and doing penalties for an hour after training, Woody's the one that's out there, whether it's, you know, running after the game where, you know, the lads, you know, I've dragged him out at PSG and, you know, he got through it with the lads and, you know, he's always there for everyone. He's always there to support. So these people in a club like this are so important. Maybe don't always get the credit they deserve, don't always get the limelight and things like that. But, you know, when he walked back in the change room there, I think he got a nice reception and he's a well-loved, you know, player in our change room. Great personality. He's fitted in so well. Maybe took him a couple of weeks to actually talk to any of us. I think he was a bit nervous, but once he settled down, then look, he's been a credit to himself. And yeah, look, I think he showed his quality as well. Forget about the personality. I think he showed his qualities, composure on the ball, the little header and pass out to me was. But look, he's got a massive amount of qualities. But we're very lucky to have good goalkeepers. Like I said, Ali's the best in the world. Hopefully he's back soon. Hopefully Georgie's isn't too bad. But, you know, if these two are out, then we all fully believe that Woody's the one to step up, and I think he showed that today.
A couple of last ones. Any extra emotion for you, Robbo? The fact that it's the last one that you experience a Merseyside derby. There's been a few fiery ones you've been involved in across the years.
Yeah, look, I've loved the Merseyside derby. I think they're the games that I look back on in the 9 years that have always kind of got the best out of me, always got the, you know, the juices flowing inside me, and today was no different. When I got the nod yesterday, you know, me and Mo spoke about it and we just said, look, let's just go out and enjoy it. It's our last one. We've had so many great memories in the Merseyside derby, so many highs, you know, a couple of lows, but not too many. But, you know, they're fantastic games to be involved in, and I'm going to miss them, that's for sure.
I'm going to miss you too. Freddie, last one for you. There's been some tears probably in the family household this weekend. Dad's flying. And now you make your Premier League debut.
Yeah.
Some celebrating getting done.
It's been an unbelievable weekend, to be honest. Like you said, yeah, my old man got promoted yesterday. And this today, you know what I mean? It's been a weekend to remember. It's unbelievable for me.
Well done, mate. Congratulations.
Cheers.
Well done.
Yes, nice to hear from Freddie Woodman. Obviously, we don't often get the chance, Tomo, but you can see just from those few minutes there, he's quite a character in that dressing room.
Oh, yeah, and it's great because you see the mickey take and everything with Robbo. He's obviously giving you a little bit of insight. The mickey take is camaraderie, sort of to get everybody together, and you've got to be a part of it. And if he's been quiet in his early weeks at the club, you know, the lads, you can't be quiet, doesn't matter what. But you can see him, he's got a good character about him. And I think that's important for a goalkeeper. And the players like him, because nowadays, we used to have our goalkeepers playing five-a-sides with us. Yeah. But there, they go out and they go boom, and they're off with the goalkeeping coaches and three or four other players. So they're not as much involved until they get back in that dressing room.
He spoke there as well about his dad, Andy Woodman, Bromley, his side getting promoted this weekend. So big celebrations in the Woodman household this weekend. Absolutely.
Yeah. And I hope he got up today. He might have a sore head, but he might have got up and seen that today. So his lad gets 20 minutes. Yeah, Tomo's right. You know, these guys are important. And obviously Robbo spoke about it as well, how important these guys are. They don't get the limelight, but they're the ones that stay out. I mean, we used to do it when we trained. You know, training had finished, Tom would call it, you know, a day of training. We'd like to stay out and do a little bit extra and stuff. And, you know, if the coaches had let you, it'd be the goalkeepers who aren't involved at the weekend, third choice maybe, who has to stand there and get balls, peppered at him for another half an hour and stuff. And they don't complain and they're there. And, you know, the keepers are, they may be of a different character now, but certainly in our day, they were a little bit mad, weren't they, the keepers? little bit off the cuff because they spend so much time on their own, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
But then I think now, like Tom said, they go off and train and stuff, but they are a massive part of the dressing room and they play their part. But they're always nice characters, you know, to have them around. And he seemed a lovely lad, didn't he? That's the first time I've ever... didn't even know where he was from. And he's got a bit of an accent on him from down south, hasn't
he? Yeah, he nice joined lad. Last summer from Preston, but he's 29, Freddie Woodman.
Is he?
So he's not...
Lucky.
Yeah, he looks great, doesn't he? But just in terms of his age, I mean, he's saying there how he still learns from Alisson and he still takes so much from him being the best in the world.
Well, it's coming to a club like Liverpool, it's no matter what position you're in. I know he's not a young lad, but goalkeeper's age, you know, 29's not great. And to come into a place and you see Alisson there and you go, wow, you can learn from this. And even Mamardashvili, you know, he's international goalkeeper, so you're doing all your drills and everything with those guys. There's nothing, it makes you a better player, but what it makes you is a better person, because you've got to bide your time to try and wait. Not that he would be wanting the other two goalkeepers to get injuries, but you have to be ready all the time.
They have to deal with that as an elite sportsman. It's like, you know, at the end of the day, he wants to play, you know, and I know what I was saying, he's got the best keeper in the world in front of him, but Mamardashvili is obviously second choice. He's got to then try and wait for his opportunity, but he's out there training, and sometimes there can be an air of detachment to that, because sometimes you don't feel part of it in the dressing room.
Mm.
You know, the lads go out and they win a game or they win a trophy and stuff, and you're third choice keeper, you might be involved in the celebration, but deep down you're going, what did I really do? Do you know what I mean? I haven't played any of the games. It's like, I'm here, I've got a medal around my neck.
It's probably a different mentality, I guess, as keepers, isn't it?
You have to have a different mentality, But you stay professional, though, and that's what's great about it.
Do you think they get a win bonus now? Because he'd be made up if he's got on the pitch and he gets a proper win bonus.
All kinds of his agents will be in now looking for a new contract.
A new contract.
20 minutes, clean sheets.
A new boot deal, a new glove
all
deal.
All kinds. That's done him a world of good.
Right, it is a win in the first ever visit to The Hill at Dickinson Stadium. Let's take a look at the results up and down the country elsewhere this weekend. So, yesterday, Brentford missed the chance to go sixth in the Premier League with a goalless draw against visitors Fulham. Leeds took a massive step, you would think, towards safety with a 3-0 victory over bottom side Wolves. Adrian Truffert fired home at a late winner to extend Bournemouth's impressive unbeaten run on what really looks to be another damaging afternoon for Eddie Howe and Newcastle. And Tottenham's hopes of achieving Premier League survival dealt a devastating late blow, as Brighton's Jorginho Ruta scored a 95th minute equaliser to make it 2-2. Mateus Cunha's goal settling it at Stamford Bridge to further cement Manchester United's Champions League hopes, while it's four Premier League defeats in a row for Chelsea and no goals scored for Liam Rossini's side in any of those Premier League matches. On to Sunday's game, a real barnstormer at Villa Park. Aston Villa 4, Sunderland 3. Tammy Abrahams with the late winner, a result that certainly boosts Villa's Champions League aspirations. Nottingham Forest 4, Burnley 1. A 15-minute hat-trick from Morgan Gibbs-White in the second half gives Forest a vital 3 points in their battle for survival. Igor Jesus with the fourth late on. And at the moment, at the Etihad, Manchester City 0, Arsenal 0. That one has been underway for around 15 minutes. Monday night's game sees Crystal Palace host West Ham. So what does that mean for the top of the Premier League table then? Well, that clash at the top will, of course, be so important for where the destination of the Premier League title proves to be. Just below that, the battle for Champions League spots getting very, very interesting. Three spots up for grabs from third to fifth. United and Villa both on 58 points. Liverpool on 55. And there's a host of teams on 48. Taking a look at the bottom of the league, and that win for Forest so important today. It gives them a 5-point cushion above Tottenham Hotspur with the Hammers, as I say, in action tomorrow night against Crystal Palace. It's going to be a fight to the finish, you would think, for Forest, West Ham and Spurs, going right down to the wire. Let's just pause and have a chat about that for the moment, because Tottenham looked to be in dire straits, Phil. You could feel the fear yesterday watching that game. It was palpable when they get that equaliser right at the death. They've not had a Premier League win since the end of December.
It's just this is Spurs, one of the big six, if you want.
Traditionally,
and you're
so,
just going, yeah. Obviously, all that's changed, and I think other people will lay claim to that. But you just think, oh my goodness, the stadium behind you there, sort of Phil Dickinson, you were thinking, you can't see that in the Championship. You cannot. But how you can see Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, oh my goodness, it's just incredible. It's been like a millstone round the neck.
Yeah.
The place, what it is now, and it's gone. Spurs has always been one of the great clubs. I can't fathom it if they were to go down. It would be astonishing. Yeah. It'd be one of the biggest stories for a long time.
You'd only have to look at Xavi Simons at the end of that game yesterday. He looked distraught, Jason, almost in tears. It's almost like the magnitude of what could be about to happen is hitting them in the final five or six games of the season. But it's the 30-odd games before that have got them in this position.
Yeah, and listen, it's a reality, isn't it, that they could go down. It's, you know, probably three or four games ago, people were like, they'll be all right. But now we're actually saying they're in a bit of bother. I've actually got a funny feeling. I think De Zerbi will turn it around. I did see an uplift in the performance yesterday. I did see a bit more effort. There was a bit more cohesion about them. The team spirit was there. And I think that's why you said about them being distraught, certain players. I mean, there was tears at the end of the game. It's probably understandable because, I mean, what a goal it would have been.
Yeah.
You know, the effort they put in. And then Danzo takes a touch. As soon as he took a touch, I just went, no! And then it flashes across. And then, you know, but it was like, to be honest, I say Danzo, you know, it shouldn't have happened. Pedro Porro should have tracked the runner and one of the players gets drawn out. Jace, he might have been there.
It's basics.
But it was basics.
You just
the basics
clear
are
it.
Still
you just
there.
Launch
mistakes.
It.
But I did feel for him. I watched the game myself. I did feel for them. But the reality is there. I mean, the only thing, West Ham, I've got Palace. I know Palace have been away, having a bit of a good time. I think in Italy they went to. So
had a bit of a night out, didn't they?
I mean, like, could be a 3 points for West Ham. And then Leeds, I think, have stretched away. So it is a three-horse race at the minute. Forest possibly could take some points, but we'll see.
Were they to go down, Tomo, if the unthinkable did happen? Do you back them to come straight back up? Because getting out of the Championship is notoriously difficult. And maybe the style of football that's needed sometimes to get out of that league, they might not adapt that well to.
Mm. Becky, it's going to be hard. Said in that stadium, you imagine all those smaller clubs, smaller town clubs going to that stadium. So they're going to be so up for it. That's why I thought if Everton went down in that new stadium, it'd be hard to get out of it. Yeah. And I feel that way with Spurs. Their best opportunity is to get out now.
Yeah.
And to do it and to get the points to get out of it now.
Yeah, Tomo's right there because it's the target. It's like the scalp everyone wants to claim, isn't it, when you're playing Tottenham, Jason?
It is. And I've been there myself. And things do go against you. You know, it's like you can do as much as you can and as much effort and honesty. But things like yesterday, they do go against you. You've just got to try and turn the tide and create some confidence in time to get yourself out of it. And they are running out of games, but like Tomo said, there's still opportunities there and they've got to do it now because next season there'll be a lot of agents on the phone trying to get their players out of Tottenham. You know, the money that they spend on wages, they might have to cut the wage bill. There will be the parachute payments. I think that's still in effect, isn't it? So they will get that. But, you know, like as you said, it's a different proposition trying to win European games. And, I mean, they're in the Champions League this season. Who's come up from League One? Who's going to come up from League One? Bolton could come up.
Lincoln.
From League.
We're
playing Bolton.
Lincoln.
No disrespect to Bolton, but it's like Lincoln. It's like crazy,
Lincoln's
isn't it?
Team, isn't it? Bolton are in
Bolton
a good
could
position.
Come up there in the playoffs. Yeah,
Tottenham,
it's crazy.
Lincoln. What a fixture.
Yeah.
Wow, that is incredible, isn't it? Right, we are going to get some more reaction now. Here is the thoughts of the boss. Arne Slot is with Peter.
Well, boss, congratulations. The lads never gave it up. 100 minutes.
Yeah, and I think we have to give them credits for the fact that maybe apart from 10 minutes against City, but for the rest of the season, they've never given up. It was their fifth game in 15 days, where three of them were against Paris, two against Paris Saint-Germain, one against Man City. So we all know how good they are on the ball, how much you have to run. Ending this game without a right fullback, with a number nine, Mo Salah, that's usually playing as a winger, and only two centre-backs on the pitch and not even having one on the bench, with the third goalkeeper in goal, then you have to give these players a lot of credit for their mentality.
And is that what you look at the end of this, is the resilience that's been there all season? There's been good and bad results, but they've had to put up with a lot. You've had to put up with a lot, yeah, in terms of availability of players as well.
Yeah, and that's still the situation. But I think it's really nice for all the fans of Liverpool, but particularly the ones that have been here in the away end. They have suffered so many times this season, us conceding a goal in extra time. And I wouldn't say this makes it all up for it, because we've conceded so many. But I'm sure this one feels really good for the ones that were there. And big credit to them again. Players kept fighting, but the fans kept supporting us also throughout this game, which they've done throughout the whole season.
Would it have felt like a decent point? I know there was disappointment that you dominated the early stages of the game. We scored at a good time as well. We probably looked most likely to get the second before the break even.
Yeah, I think they started off better than us in the first 10 to 15 minutes. But yeah, you could almost expect that, because first 10 minutes is chaos. And in chaos and in long balls, second balls, I think they're a better team than us. But usually a game then settles down and then you can start to play football. In a sense that you can, things calm a bit down and you can start to do your build up more and more. And we got better and better into the game. Scored the goal from a moment that we pressed them high and they didn't play the ball long, so they tried to play short. And we immediately punished them for that. Great assist from Cody, great goal by Mo. And indeed, it felt to me that till they scored the 1-1, we were in control and played probably the best part of our game today. But as it happened so many times this season, out of nowhere we conceded a goal. But today, the game didn't end as it has usually ended as well, with a disappointment. Today it ended on a high.
And how does that feel to win so late on as a manager, when you know what it means to the fans? I mean, there'll be people bouncing into work tomorrow that might have been avoiding going in at one stage.
Yeah, we know how much this means for us, simply looking at the league table, but definitely also this is one for the history books, because there will never be another first game in this stadium again. And to beat them in the way we did is very nice. In a week, as we know, 37 years ago, the big tragedy happened, and we know and we felt constantly how much this club means to this city. So that we could give them something back today is something special.
Quick one on Ali of MA. Has he got a chance maybe for next game, or is that one you'll take later on in the week?
We're hoping that he could start maybe somewhere during the day, his team session, not during the day, during the week, his team sessions again. So let's see when that is and if it's then, what is then the right decision to make. But the good thing is that we've had our problems in so many positions, as I just described. Now, we have three goalkeepers, so we don't have three fullbacks or three number nines or three left wingers, but we have three goalkeepers, and I have to give a big compliment to Freddie, because difficult moment to come in, just conceded the 1-1, but he was calm and he did his job as he needed to do. One time it was a bit close, but I think that was a foul on him, and the fourth official told me that he would have blown his whistle if the ball would have gone in, which I'm not convinced about, by the way, but he did tell me.
Well done, boss. Enjoy tonight.
Thank you.
The thoughts of Arne Slot there. And Tomo, some really touching words there from the boss about his knowledge of how much this obviously means to the city as a whole.
It's me, and it is in the week of the Hillsborough. It is a difficult one, and you have to have that in your mind. You have to have it in your mind most times. But at this moment, come April, you are very, very much aware of it. You know, the game last weekend, then the big European game in midweek, and the derby. And, you know, we go back, he ain't heavy, sort of all those times,
yep,
and the derby match, which was a wonderful touch by Everton. And for the boss to sort of remind everybody, it's not just about football.
Absolutely, definitely the right sentiment. So we will speak about the next game, which of course is Crystal Palace, in a moment. But let's have a look at the remaining fixtures. There are not too many of them now in the Premier League left. And looking at these, Jase, the fact that we face Manchester United, Chelsea, and of course Aston Villa as well, it is, the destiny is in our own hands, which is exactly how we would want it to be.
Yeah, sort of the top of the post-match there. I mean, it's always great winning a derby. It's always great winning in the manner that we did last minute. But for me, it was about the 3 points. I just thought the gap, having Chelsea slip up yesterday, that, you know, Everton were breathing down our necks, so were Brentford. You know, Chelsea are going to be in and around it come the end of the season. But I was desperate for the 3 points just to put a little bit of a buffer. As the games get less, you need the gap to grow. And it's at 7 now, I think, 55, I think 48. So 7. So it was
well done, Jace.
Thanks, mate. Maths is my strong point. Just been with the UN all week. Some more things can do the basic maths. So, yeah, 7 points is a nice gap with 5 games to go. But I did say the home games for us, the foundation of a good season, we should be winning Palace at home since they've been in Italy all week, enjoying themselves. And really, Brentford at home, we should take maximum points. But I'd like to beat Manchester United. Chelsea would be a good test.
Well, the Manchester United game, we've won the local derby.
Yeah.
And there's another derby, which we should be up for. Attitude should be right. But we've got the Palace game, who've been a thorn in our side.
Well, yes. I was just about to go on. You owe them at least one. I mean, they have beaten you 3 times already. Obviously, the Community Shield, if you want to count that.
I would say Palace is safe. They're no threat. There's nothing happening. It's like, what did they used to say? They're on their holidays on the beach.
Flip-flops.
Yeah, they're in the flip-flops. So it's a great time to play Palace, but it's at home and it's still important for us. Listen, it's not over. There's 5 games to go. There's plenty of points to be won and lost. And teams won't give up, you know, financial gain and positions within the Premier League, but there's European places to grab
for. It's coming to Anfield. And the players, if they do feel that way, they will know, oh my goodness, we're going to Anfield, and they will be up for it, and they've caused us problems. And I just think we've got to be at it again. We were at it today, we were at it last week, we were at it in midweek, and you will get more results than not. More good results than not.
They do have something to play for, because they're in the Europa Conference League semi-final later on that week after the game at Anfield.
So, you know,
what I'm saying is it's a way to Shakhtar Donetsk, so you would imagine that they might be thinking about that, and maybe might not be quite so much on the weekend.
I totally agree with what you're saying, yeah. So in a sense, it's a good fixture. But then again, you know, that's where complacency slips in, isn't it? And that's where the coaches and everyone's got to be like, and Tomo's right, you can't switch off. Listen, 7 points is one thing. I'd like to be 10. You know, the gaps get even bigger. There's another less game. You don't want any complacency right now.
We don't want this result today. It's been huge. You don't want to give that up and not be affected next week.
That is it for this episode of The Reaction. We'll be back on Saturday evening as we look back at Liverpool taking on Crystal Palace at Anfield in the Premier League. Until then, if you haven't already, please do give us a follow to make sure you don't miss an episode. Thanks for being with us. Bye-bye for now.